Could we live in this world without money? Well, it might be possible, but it would certainly be difficult. You know, we typically need money for food and shelter and clothing and many other things. Money makes it possible to function in society. But for some people, money can also be the cause of anxiety and stress and other problems. Did you know that the Bible talks a lot about money? It talks about it both in good and bad aspects, including how money is part of worship. Now, in worship, it's called the offering. And the Bible also mentions tithing as an offering, which means a tenth. So, in order to better understand the biblical view of money and the principles of giving, well, we need to look at a few passages. If we can understand the principles better, then applying them in our lives will certainly be much easier. So here are four points we want you to consider. Number one, give because you are a good steward. See, Jesus considered all things to be the property of God, and he pointed out that we are simply stewards of his property. It's like we're administrators for God's things, the things that he has blessed us with. And in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, Jesus spoke a parable explaining the reward that two men received because they administered their talents properly. But one received punishment who wasn't a good steward. You might also want to read Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 13, which is another parable about being a faithful servant or an unjust servant. The Apostle Peter also taught that we must be faithful stewards. He says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Then in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, and Ephesians 4, 28, we learn that good stewardship must be part of our faith. So the main point is, we must be good managers of all the blessings that God has given us, which implies we must handle our money in a good and godly manner, and that requires discipline and integrity. Now, number two, give as you have prospered. This principle is found in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. It says, on the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. Everyone's offering will be different according to what they've received. If God has provided abundantly for you, then you must give back abundantly. God expects that you give diligently and generously. Now remember, our ability to give is not limited to just our money, but can also include our personal skills and talents. And we see that principle applied in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, where Christians first gave themselves to the Lord. It appears they gave more than just their money. So what about tithing, like we read about in the Old Testament? Are Christians supposed to give a tithe, that is 10% of their things and of their wealth? Well, the New Testament gives no commandment for giving a tenth of our income. That was something that God required from the Hebrews in the Old Testament under the law of Moses. It had a primary and specific purpose, and that was to provide sustenance for the priest. And since we have no Levite priesthood today in Christianity, well then, the tithing commandment does not apply to the church. However, just because we are no longer under the old law, as Colossians 2:14 teaches us, it doesn't mean that we have no mandate concerning our giving, nor should we give much less than the Hebrews did in the Old Testament. Instead, we should give with joy. And that's our third point in this four things we want you to remember. The Bible says we should give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. But that's a problem for many people. You know, we might give, but we don't really like to give up our money. And we need to be careful with that attitude because that attitude is called greed. The fact is, we will all have to give an account before God for our actions, and greed is a sin. You know, a miser is just as far away from Christ as any other sinner. And according to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, a miser, that is someone who hoards all their wealth, has an attitude that is contrary to that of Christ. For example, if someone makes an offering but then thinks to themselves, you know, I really prefer to keep this, well, then that offering is in vain since it's not done out of joy and generosity. Read and learn from what Jesus taught in Luke chapter 12, verse 13 through 21 about greed and the rich fool. Consider also what Christ teaches in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. Where does it say joy comes from? It says it comes from giving. And after all, what does greed come from? Well, it comes from selfishness. You see, the Bible teaches that we must give selflessly, and that is from the heart. And then, number 4, give proportionately. No one should be overly burdened with their offering while another person is shunning their responsibility. It's absolutely necessary that each member contributes financially to the church in some amount or means. That's according to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 13. We must remember that God sees our offering and He has promised to provide care for us, just as He says in Matthew chapter 10, 29 through 30. Do you remember the widow in Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44? Well, the Bible says that that poor widow put in all that she had, her whole livelihood, in verse 44. And why? Well, because of her faith. Therefore, you should judge your offering by what is left over, not by the amount that you put in the plate. So in the end, don't ever forget how much God has provided for you when you're thinking about how much you're going to give back to Him. You see, your offering is a proof of your love.